Welcome to the Geeks at Art, the hobby gaming podcast, La Belle Purveyors. This week I'm here with Antoine, and we're talking about some hobby stuff, and then we're going to talk about our new show, Colors du Monde. So why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to Geeks of the North, the hobby gaming podcast of the Vegas. I'm your host, Paul Filio. Here, as always, my co-host, Antoine Bergeron.
Hey, hello. Antoine,
how's it going, man?
Good, you?
Better now that I made it through the intro after the sixth attempt.
Just sixth?
I don't know. I stopped counting. It was pretty embarrassing. Oh, man. It has been too long since we've done this main show thing.
Yeah. Well, not that bad, in fact. The last... one was that long ago.
For us, I suppose, it's not bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for the listener, it's been just a month. Month or a month and a half.
Really?
Yeah, because we did the after Adepticon late one.
Oh, I suppose. I don't know if it's good or not, but...
No, I don't think it's good. At least we maintain presence with the... Guilds of the North in the news.
Yeah, so much presence with Guilds of the North that I kept trying to intro that show instead of this one. That's, Steve would be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to blame it on the fact that I'm painting a Guild Ball model right now. I think that's the problem. So we're actually doing a bit of a podcast while hobbying thing, which may or may not work out. I guess we'll find out in the editing. I think we've done this once before, and it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
If I fade in and off mic, it's because I forget that I'm on mic and I'm busy painting.
Or you're falling asleep.
Or that, too. When you hear the clunk, it's my head hitting the desk. I haven't really had a lot of chance to do any hobby. I got an hour in last week, and that was it for the last, month or so.
Been doing you came over for... So, like a small evening, I don't know, some weeks ago?
Did I actually hobby? Maybe.
You got your figs out.
Oh, no, I was working on my trenchers. Yeah, that's true. Those trenchers will get done someday. They've been almost done for months.
But with the almost an hour each way, it doesn't leave that much hobby time when you come here. It's weighing out anyway, so...
Yeah, but there's no kids screaming for me.
Yeah. That's a plus.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
We'll have our regular stuff.
Yeah, that's fine. So, let me look at the file here. So, we got our cool stuff on the web, and then we're going to talk about our hobby time. Mine is depressingly short. And Antoine's got a yom-sized list of stuff he's done hobby-wise and game-wise.
Well, six weeks helps.
Yeah, and then... he'll just wake me up when he's done, and we'll go into the main topic, which we haven't decided what it is yet. So, all in all, it's a regular episode. Where we have no idea where we're going, but we'll get there eventually. So, first up, let's start with some cool stuff on the web, Antoine.
Yeah, this one is quite old, in fact. The post dates from, October 2017. However, it's worth mentioning... Widow Workshop released on their Facebook page a small gallery of pictures from the Blade Runner 2049 set, where they are working on all the miniatures used for the shot. So all the buildings, landscapes, stuff like that. Most of it was done in miniatures. It was not all CGI. Sure, there's CGI added for effects, but most of the buildings are done for real in miniatures. So you see the artist standing in the middle of that city, working on them. The skyscraper being tall as they are, it's an amazing gallery to look at. It's not that long, an handful of pictures, but it's super interesting.
Now, do you think they did that just because they wanted to kind of preserve the look and feel of the original Blade Runner?
Maybe, but I think it might just still look better.
That's tough to say. Just because CGI looks so good now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the days of Matrix Reloaded are long past us.
Yeah, for sure.
Where CGI Neo was more than a little not so good looking. But, yeah, I don't know. It's tough to say. I just assumed it was a stylistic thing to try to preserve that original look and feel. But like you said, it could just be it was just practical effects sometimes are just easier and, like you said, better.
And it might go with the way they work. Like, if you ask another company to do it, they might have done it in CGI fully instead.
Oh, you mean like a production company choice, kind of?
Yeah.
That could be.
With that being really on end, usually. Like with the Lord of the Rings, they had a lot of the stuff done for real. It was not that much CGI done.
Really?
Well, a lot of the, almost all the equipment on the, every creature was done for real. All the swords and the armors and everything. The sets pictures were amazing.
Really? I need to look at that. I never looked much into, like, Lord of the Rings and what the production, like, story was. That might be kind of cool to do some research in. Maybe go to sleep a little less dumb tonight. Yeah.
Not I much. I got a couple of books on the armor and equipment from the movie. So I'll put that aside for you next time we meet.
Like, I knew like a lot of the battles had tons and tons and tons of extras.
Mm-hmm.
Because I seem to recall like the Perry brothers were in there. There was like a bunch of people from the miniature gaming industry that were in that... those movies somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But yeah, those the Winter Workshop pictures are awesome. Those buildings are huge. You never really realize just how big those practical models are until you see them.
And especially in the case of like skyscrapers, I don't know, like 50, 60, 100 stories building. They had to...
Yeah, they are quite sizable.
Yeah. Because one of the shots, you see mostly grounds, and there's one or two-story buildings, and they're tiny, not even shoe size. So when you compare to the giant skyscrapers next to them, it makes for a sizable difference.
Yeah, it's a pretty noticeable difference. This is true. All right. Okay. I guess that takes us into hobby time.
Yes.
Well, I'll stretch this out to make it seem a little less pathetic. So, I have been working a bit on some trenchers for a Lelia's Resistance War Machine list that I hope someday to play. Though I haven't managed to get a game of War Machine in months. Yeah, they started coming together really quickly, and I was super happy. And then a couple things happened. Kids and work. And then, spring finally came. And, you own a house, you get to a certain age, you own a house. And then there's a never ending, list of crap you have to do at your house. Yep. Antoine's a homeowner, you understand, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
It's amazing the lawn doesn't clean itself in the spring to get rid of all the deadfall. I keep trying to get the pixies to come and help me, but they don't seem to want to show. No matter how many goats I sacrifice, no matter how much I parade around naked outside, nothing seems to help.
That might have to do with it.
I'm trying to create a nice mental image there for you, Antoine. That went someplace weird. Sorry. I'm also messing up my my blending on my cloak, and it's distracting me. Yeah, so I've been kind of working on them. And then Steve, being the source of most of the evil things in the world, got me back into Guild Ball. And then every spare moment I've had in the last 3 weeks, I've been playing Guild Ball. It's not a bad thing.
No, you've played quite a lot.
Well, for me, anyway. I was kind of going through a Guild Ball hate period before Steve got me playing again. So it's nice to be out of that and playing. And I have to say that the Guild Ball hate period had nothing to do really with the Guild Ball game, and more to do with Steamforge and how they handle some things. And hate's a strong word, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I was not fond of Steamforge, shall we say, for a while. It was kind of like the old GW relationship, you know? I'll keep buying your miniatures and playing your game, but I won't be happy about it. That's kind of where I was.
The passive-aggressive angry gamer.
Yeah, that's pretty much the clinical version of it. That's a good way to put it. I like that. The passive-aggressive angry gamer. I was more aggressive-aggressive, really. Hey, look, I saved my model. Yay! Sorry, I just managed to creatively undo something stupid that I'd done. So I'm pleased now. Oh, no, I took it too far and wrecked something else. Fantastic. Oh, the dangers of miniature painting. When you're not 100% focused. And let's see, aside from that, like I mentioned, we've been doing the Guild Ball stuff. And I decided it was about time to finish my Solticians / Churchies, as I call them. Since their box set's coming out, and I had most of the models that are in that box set already, I figured it was time to put some paint to model and get them done. And they're coming out pretty well. I had a fair amount of them done already, so I'm just putting some final touch-ups on a couple models and painting the few remaining guys I had left, which were Grace Benediction and Harry the Hat, who were like all half painted. And I posted for the first. Actually, people may not know this about me. I don't ever really post pictures of my works in progress or my models. I've never been very comfortable with it. It's just not my thing. And I posted a picture of Benediction that I'd spent about an hour working on in the Hobby Hangout Facebook group, which if people aren't part of that, they really should be. It's quite a good Facebook group. And I got so much positive feedback, it was ridiculous. To the point where I felt like a chick on an online dating service. I'd spent an hour painting the model, right? So you had like some color blocking done and some basic airbrushing. Like, there was nothing super fancy going on with him. But he is a very nice model. And people like were just in love with the direction I was going, I think. So I had tons and tons and tons of like feedback and comments and likes on the picture. It was like, wow, this is what it's like to be Yomer Antoine. It was weird.
I don't know. I don't post in the big groups. So.
Yeah, but I don't ever post at all, so I'm not used to anyone liking anything I do, right?
Sure.
So yeah, that was kind of nice. Actually, that's the model I'm working on right now. I'm working on Benediction. But I don't know how much I'll get done here because the lighting is terrible. I've added lamps in my basement, and it's still not enough. The room is just way too dark, or I'm getting way too old. Probably a combination of both.
Yeah.
Getting old is no fun, Antoine. You'll see in a few years. You'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
Back when I was your age.
Yeah, we're so much far apart.
We're so different in age, I know.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what, 5 years?
I thought 15.
Well, I make it sound like 15. Everyone thinks you're the older one, though, because you're all gray. You've been gray forever, as far as I can tell.
I think we're 3 or 4.
I'm 40. Wait a minute. I'm 43. I'll be 43 in like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Five. Four and a half, five. Not four.
So I was right, though. The half.
Yep. Yep.
Look at that. Oh, God, this is not working. Sorry. Too much water in my paint, and I put that paint to the model, and there the paint went. And, yeah, I've now undone a lot of good work. So we'll go back to the drawing board here. I'll just repaint a half a model.
So you should probably keep color blocking for the podcast, the Hobby Podcast, then? Instead of detail work?
Maybe. Hey, it's, I'm just trying to get this guy done. You know, how was I to know things could go horribly wrong so quickly? It's not like we do this all the time. I'm sure he'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
No one checks out my models close up anyway. I just won't necessarily post a follow-up picture on the hobby hangout of him. Yeah, so that's it. And then I guess games. So yeah, I've been playing lots of Guild Ball. It's such a good tight rule set. And it's just less models to lug around, which is always nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, I am getting kind of bored with my fishermen. And it's not because the team is not good, or I don't like their playstyle. I do very much like their playstyle. But I'm a very one-dimensional fisherman player. So every game kind of goes the same way. And it's fine right now while I'm playing newer people who don't know how I play. But as soon as they figure it out, I'm never going to win again. Which means it's time to change teams.
Yeah.
Stay ahead of their learning curve.
And what are you looking forward to?
Trying to get my Solthesians done. I don't think they're very good right now.
And they look like more of a scoring team anyway, so not that far from your fish.
Yeah, except they don't really have a lot of the things to make it happen. I mean, a seasoned brisket is quite good, don't get me wrong. But I wouldn't say she's shark good.
No. Nobody is shark good.
Well, except for shark. So that's the thing. So, and that's fine in of itself. I don't mind that. But she doesn't seem to have the support she needs to kind of make things happen. So I'm curious to see what happens with the when they release Season 4 and the updated model rules come out.
And also getting the two new models for your guild, that might help to have more variety.
Oh, Spigot?
Season Spigot and the new Fangtooth.
Yeah, plus they have a new mascot coming too, right?
So. Yes.
Who we've already seen. And he looks quite cool. Pride the Lion. Every time I see him, all I can think of is the... do you remember that internet meme song from like a billion years ago? Where can you see lions? Only in Kenya?
No, I don't think I know that one.
I think it was a Weeble Stuff thing, if you remember Weeble Stuff. They did Magical Trevor. Showing my age, I guess. Back in the dark ages of the internet. When we had CompuServe. anyway. There's I'll have to say there's a little thing called Where Can You See Lions? And it's a little song, and it's very catchy, and it loops infinitely.
Mm-hmm.
And, Pride being a lion, every time I see him, all I can think of is Where Can You See Lions? Oh, yeah. I'm rambling now. Save me, Antoine.
So, I'll jump on my stuff then.
Yeah.
On the hobby side, I've been in a challenge mode. So, not that I want to challenge people. It's just that I've been inspired.
Because I'd hate to lose to you over and over and over again.
Nah. I've been inspired by online challenges that I've seen either in groups or for games I follow. So I painted, the first one was Gangs of Rome model, Tisiphone, for the Paint All the Minis Facebook group. They have a podcast, the Paint All the Minis Paint Tremble. We have already talked about it in the show in the past.
Yeah, it's Dan, I think, is the host name, right?
Yeah, Dan Adams even co-hosted the news once with me.
That's true.
Yeah. So if you want to hear his sultry voice, you can go back to the old news, which is not interesting, or listen to Paint All the Minis Paint Tremble. So it's a cool show. So I painted the model for that. I'm part of what they call the Jedi Council. So it's just a small group of admins that talk about stuff for the project. Dan being the head on show, you can call him Palpatine if you want. But he's less dark sidey. So as a member of the group, I wanted to participate. We cannot win anything, but it was just to get the ball rolling.
It was a shame because your model was awesome looking.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that's fine. And it was a good way and a good reason to get one of their model, because I didn't really plan on trying the game maybe, but getting into the game anytime soon, but just having one model sent for just the shipping was a good way to try it. So I painted her. After that, there was a painting contest on the Antimatter Facebook group, the Abyssal Realms. So it's a Facebook group for Deep Wars and Shadow Sea. So it was specifically for any of the Dark Mariners model. So that contest combined with a local player getting rid of his old stuff was the right timing, the perfect timing for me to finally get into it. I know I've talked about that game for a long time.
Since the original Kickstarter.
Yeah. And I finally got into it, so I got a couple of factions. Well, in fact, I got all the four initial factions, but offloaded two of those to other local players, so at least I'll have people to play. And kept the Dark Mariners, so I painted the Annihilator Biomech for it, which is a bigger model for them on a 40 mil base. It was fun to paint. I really like the fact that they have base inserts, but they are customized for each model. So it's not just a series of basic base inserts or like the original Guild Ball Kickstarter ad. It was all the same ones for everybody, or all same style. For Deep Wars and Shadow Sea, they vary by model or by game. Also, Shadow Sea have land base, while Deep Wars have underwater bases, and they all vary. Like the one I had for the Animator Biomech, I had some coral reefs, and it just looks cool.
That whole model looked cool.
Yeah, and I tried my first lightning effect, like Yom does on his Signar, and that was inspired by another local player, Dan.
Oh, Danny, why can I not remember his name?
Yeah, it's because we're online and on the spot. I'm drawing a blank too, but Dan Boo on Facebook, and he do lightning effect with small wires painted white with a glow around it, so it looks like the lightning, some lightning streaks, lightning.
Yeah, lightning arcs.
Lightning arcs are going on your model, so the artwork for the biomech adds something looking like that, growing on the, like as if he was building up energy on his cannon. So I did something like that. I did some tiny arcs and a small ball of green stuff for the center for life for the energy buildup, and painted that pure white. And I think the effect is cool.
Yeah, it came out really well, man.
Yeah.
The only thing I can say about that whole model is that he seemed very dark.
Yeah.
In the pictures, he wasn't that dark in real life. I think the pictures didn't do him any justice.
Yeah, but he is dark overall.
Oh, no, I know, but I think the pictures made him look darker than he is. Yeah.
So the work in progress were worse. The final one in the blue background was at least a little bit more lighter.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But yeah, I was happy. He was bright, and as usual, I went dark, more shading than lighting, highlighting. So ended up a little darker and less bright than I planned. But it fits with the Dark Mariners. They're like broody, Cthulhu-like depth creatures. So that's fine. I'll do more puppy colors on my Skelly Hordes when I get to them. After that, I took a small, tiny breaks of challenge for to paint a model for Manifo. So from my work in progress Shelf of Shame, I finished Perita Ortega, the master for my crew, or my guild crew. I had her since release of the game.
Yeah, I was gonna say, long time coming, eh?
Yeah, also assembled and partly painted since that time. So, she was long overdue. I tried the current second edition of the game, finally after, 4 years, 5 years maybe. So got to try the game out with a buddy, but that was the incentive to paint her to at least have something new painted on the table in less gray. So
yeah,
quicker job, but still happy with how she looked.
Yeah, that's really good. I have to admit, when you pulled her out to paint, I went looking for my Malifaux stuff. and I found it.
Yeah. It's a good thing.
Yeah. So, and I found stuff that I don't know why I own.
But isn't that always the case? For you,
always?
I mean.
Not always.
No.
It has happened. Like, I usually find stuff that I didn't know I owned, but it makes sense that I own it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, I found the unit cards for second edition for the Gremlins.
Which you don't.
But I've never played Gremlins, owned Gremlins. I remember looking at Gremlins at one point, but I never bought any models, so I don't know why I would have bought the cards. So I'm still not convinced that they're mine.
I lost mine, but I don't know why, for any reason, they would be at your place.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense either. But yeah. You're welcome to these. It's not like I'm ever going to use them.
Yeah, that's strange.
I'd be happy to give them to you.
And the last series of stuff I've worked on was for Anerial, the World of Twilight. That's a fantasy skirmish game.
Nothing to do with the Sparkling Vampires, right?
Nope. That's why I said Anerial World of Twilight, and not just Twilight. No,
fair point.
It has more to do with Jim Henson's Puppet, or Brian Froud, or Dark Crystal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no humans in that setting. There are small creatures that are called the Fubarni. And in their artworks, they have a lot of balloons for... as vehicles. So, and they had a contest running. There were three type of entries you could do. The first one was a force, so you could get a playable force painted. You could do a critter, which was, they have a critter called a Pre-Pre, which is a kind of a pet for the noble. They usually keep them well fed and pampered, but you could paint any of the critter in the line, and they have a bunch of small critters, so I painted a couple of those tiny critters. And the last type of entry was the a freestyle entry, so you could do anything, a single model, terrain piece, a diorama display, whatever. And to go with the balloon theme in some of the artwork, I decided to build Fubarney Tower with a balloon attached to it that was floating in the air. I went simple.
Yeah, now, I will say that piece looks amazing.
Yeah.
I'll also say you were insane.
Yeah. But I also was short on time, and in the end, the tower is not done. So I was able to build the balloon, strengthen the ropes with wire, and everything. So the balloon was done, but I didn't have time left to finish the tower. The tower is partly built, at least. It's almost ready to go to texturing. But I didn't have time to finish it.
You make it sound like it's a different department. Like,
well, it is. It kind of is.
Really? Do you have a bunch of people working for you I don't know about, Antoine?
No, but it's not the same type of work, so it's going to be on a different table. I have department in my basement.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say.
Yeah. So instead of doing the tower, I just built a single tree and used one of the dangling ropes from the basket of the balloon to that just goes through the foliage, and I anchored that to one of the branch. So it doesn't show. It looks like either it's attached to the tree or if it's just going over it. So I built that tree out of wire and putty and added some clump foliage for the...
Amazing tree,
by the way. For the foliage.
I was actually thinking about commissioning you to make a few more for my guild ball pitches.
They were really fun to do. I do need, though, to get new Aves putty because mine has hardened. I think it's almost 10 or 12 years old, so the top is all dried up, crusty, so it doesn't mix well. That's a bit of a pain. So I need to get new one next time I go buy a mold supplement, mold material, because they sell it at the same place.
What type of putty was it? Was it Magisculpt or something? Or?
No, it's Aves. Epoxy Sculpt.
Epoxy Sculpt, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but I was able to finish the tree and also the base. I'm really happy about the base of the tree. The basing I did on it with all the type of small foliage, plants, rocks, everything. And in the end, I'll probably have to rip the tree out of that base to attach it to the tower once I'm done. So either that or I build a new tree. Still not sure.
I don't know, man. That tree is gorgeous.
Yeah. And the way the tree is done, it would fit next to the tower from my initial design. So I might just rip part of the base and attach it to a bigger base, like a jigsaw piece.
Okay, yeah, like a puzzle piece.
Yeah. So I'll lose part of my basing, but not all of it. And that way I wouldn't have to rebuild the whole tree. Because I'm also out of clump foliage. I use everything I add to
build it. That I can help you with.
Yeah.
I have a giant bag of it that I've had for, you know, a decade or more.
Yeah. And it wouldn't be that much of a problem now to get it. Because now that the contest is done, I entered the balloon with the tree. I still want to finish the tower.
Of course.
I really like the sketch with the balcony that let the engineer go into the balloon. So it's cool. So to go with that, I also painted one of the Fubarney model. I just ordered a couple of those and two of the small critters just for the contest. And to see, to get the scale right, like for the building doors and the size. And also to see the casting quality. So I painted one, and he appeared in the balloon for the shot, the official shots for the contest. However, he was not done when I did it. I just concentrated on the top of it, because we didn't see the feet or the base inside the balloon.
Did you cheat, Antoine?
Yes, I did. Well, I didn't cheat. The part that was shown, it was mostly for the balloon, so I consider the elder like just
an accessory.
An accessory. I did that in the past for a cool mini or not contest. There was a contest for the Rivet Wars stuff, and one of the model was only painted from the front or finished from the front angle of the photo. It was completed after, but for the final, the official shot before the deadline, the back and metallics were not finished, and
you had to look at it from a certain side.
Yeah. It worked because it was a diorama. It was made to be seen from a specific angle. So it worked for the pictures, but it's a good thing they didn't ask for a 360.
Yeah, I remember. Did that win?
I don't remember. I got a qualifying spot. I didn't remember. I don't remember how they did the... I know there was a top place. I didn't get that. But I was over a certain threshold of votes or points, and I did get a small model from it, like a Rivet War version of Indiana Jones. Adventure.
Yeah, I've got the Rivet Wars version of Samuel Jackson.
Okay. I didn't see that one.
Yeah, he's called the Man in Charge. I bought him for Christy. I'd forgotten about that. At some point, I should probably paint that for her. Yeah, just so I can keep my marriage going. Because yeah. Someday she'll bring it up that I was supposed to do that and I never did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always good to follow up on those stuff.
I was going to say wives are like elephants, they never forget. That doesn't sound good.
No, that's not good.
It's a good thing she doesn't listen to the show. And it's a good thing none of my friends will rat me out. Mm. Probably.
Same thing for me. My wife bought models for me, and they're still not painted, and that's years and years ago. That's partly why she stopped buying me any hobby stuff, because she said that I never built them or used them.
Truth hurts, Anne.
Yeah. It's primed.
Mm-hmm.
I've been like that for years.
I understand.
Yeah. But it was such a nice model. It was the Pirate's Giant from Black Scorpion.
That is a really nice model.
Yeah. I never finished him because I wanted to do it as a contest piece, like a really iron one. But I never paint for contests. Well, for high quality, like real painting contests, not just online stuff for games, but for shows like
display pieces. You're not display going to pieces. Monte and I get that. I understand what you mean, buddy.
Yeah. So that's almost about it for Abby. The only other thing I did was I had a work retreat last week. And I didn't want to bring paints and stuff like that. And we had quite a long bus ride too. So I brought my travel kit for sculpting. The bus ended up being too rough for sculpting, but I was able to start building armatures. And during the off time and in the evening, I started working on my second stuffed animal. So this one is a hippo ballerina. And it's coming along quite well.
It's progressing nicely.
Yep. I might have her finished by next week.
Wow. You're doing well.
Yeah. I did forget, though, my box of samples, so I didn't have either the platypus or the unicorn. So the scale is totally not the same. It's kind of a good thing because I think the unicorn was too big.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons is shipping. She barely fit in like envelope post, so it makes the shipping price a lot higher, especially local.
Yeah, because we're in Canada and we pay more to ship next door than we do to ship internationally.
Oh, yeah. Like, shipping to Quebec, which is, let's say, 3 hours of driving distance for us.
Quebec City, yeah.
To Quebec City, cost more than shipping to Australia. Or the same exact package.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Total sense. And I think it would have costed me less to ship to the States and get it shipped back to Alberta than ship straight to Alberta.
So weird.
Yeah, it totally didn't make sense. By the way, but after that, I found the girl at the post office. She suggested just trying it without the protective blister and just straight into a bubble envelope, and it fits. It does fit, but they can't send it internationally that way, just locally. So at least I was able to send to Alberta for less than $25.
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it makes no sense. That's a $5 model. Try to send it in the same country, and they're asking me like 5 times the worth of it. That's kind of why I'm trying to build it just a bit smaller, so it's going to be easier to ship.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And the unicorn, it was not that tall, but if I had made her nut sitting, it would have ended up pretty big.
I guess, yeah. I never thought of that.
It's bigger than my platypus for sure, but it's kind of in the middle. Yeah, it's in the middle between both. The hippo. So, it's good. That's what I'm working on right now as Paul is painting his go ball. I'm still sculpting that small hippo. The body is almost done. I'm working on the facial features now, and I might be starting the tutu tomorrow.
That mod's gonna look awesome.
Yeah, and that's it for my hobby. After that, game-wise, like you, it was mostly Guildball. However, it was all against Steve, because each time we play other people, they're either newer and want to play between them, or they just don't want to face Steve or me. I don't know. So I've been playing Steve a lot. One game with my butchers against his mortician, and 2 games between my new engineers and his hunters. And wow, dude, I play that engineers, those engineers bad.
Well, you don't know them, right? So
yeah, I don't know them. Steve knows his hunter well, and their playstyle just doesn't click with me. I want to like them, but right now I'm not good with them. That's for sure. So I'll need more practice. I'll need to read more my cards for next time, and continue playing. Because the first time I used him against Steve, he was playing his blacksmith. So we were both using your team, and that game went a lot more differently. It was a lot closer. Yeah.
Yeah, well, the learning curve. Guild Ball has a crazy learning curve.
Yeah.
Just because of the game itself is fairly complex, right? And there's a lot of model interactions. The rules are clean and I would think pretty well written. Yeah. I would say pretty well written. But there's a lot of model interactions, so it slows you down. And since we always play with clock, you know, it's easy to lose when you're not looking.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, played 3 games of Guild Ball and Malifaux, which I already mentioned. Tried the new second edition against Benoit Escarbeau, another of my indie games player, one of the guys I play all the smaller game with. It was fun. I didn't play much of version 1 when we tried it out, but it got all the same fun vibes with the card end to cheat, and a lot of option for the scenarios, and just the interaction with the model. So I'll get it out of on the table again for sure. And the last one was a game of Gaslands against Yom. for his birthday. So he came over for his birthday. We got some beers and chips and stuff like that, and we destroyed cars.
Yeah, Gaslands was a surprisingly fun game. I have zero car conversion ability, I've discovered.
Oh yeah, you tried?
Well, no, it's not that I tried, but I just don't even know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even know where to start. I've never been much of a miniatures conversion guy anyway.
Yeah.
And I guess that just translates to Gaslands as well.
Oh, well, go for the cleaner ones. There are some of the sponsors that I have clean car and not just Mad Max stuff.
Yeah, and I never really liked the Mad Max aesthetic, so clean car is what I was going for.
Yeah. You just have to glue weapons to it.
It just needs more guns.
Yeah.
Always needs more guns.
Yeah, I need to work on that too. But that's it for me. My Albion games are done.
All right. So why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll come back and hopefully have a main topic.
Good.
So we'll be right back, geeks.
And welcome back. All right, folks, we're in the second half of our show now, and if we sound different, it's because, one, I am now using the correct microphone, and two, it's actually a week and a half later, because we suck, and we're old, and we never have time to record. Get off my lawn. Okay. But we're back, and that's what's important. And I will seamlessly splice this together. If I hadn't just mentioned it, no one would know. But, yeah. Threw myself under the bus. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think we mentioned last episode, but no, in the first half of the episode, that we didn't actually have a main topic.
Exactly.
But now we do.
Yes, we do.
And we're going to talk about Calotte au Monde, which is an event we've mentioned before, but now it is happening. It is July 21st, and we have like 99.9% of all the details. Take
maybe
it away, Antoine.
Maybe 95.
99 sounds better.
Yeah, but it's incorrect.
You win this round.
Yeah. So, Calotte au Monde is a hobby event. It's focused around painting. What happens? You pay to get into the door. Once that happens, there's a giant setup of tables. Free tables, you sit wherever you want with the people you want. You paint. There will be mentors available during the day. People who are good at top painting overall or specific topics. And you can chat with them, have tips, see them work. There will be activities like paint intakes, speed painting contests. There is also an open painting contest, open being the format. We've already talked about open painting contest in the past, but just to make a quick recap, in an open painting format, instead of being like a podium system where there's the top three, you are judged on a series of standards, and you are judged alone, not considering the other entrants. So your own level is the only thing that's judged based on the standard. So you might be a silver, I might be a silver too. There will be two silver awarded.
Yeah. It's you're benchmarked against the a predefined set of criteria.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter that your model might be slightly better detailed than mine or slightly higher quality paint job, but it doesn't necessarily put you in another category than me.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we could be still be in the same and still be different, and your model could still be better than mine, but we could still be graded at silver.
Yeah.
Usually
people bring what they call displays. That's a number of pieces that you present. And out of those, the judge will determine one that they find is the best example of your work. And they will judge that single piece as your overall display.
Yeah. And what is the size that we've set for that?
So we have set a maximum of 5 pieces per person.
Yeah.
Why we offer that is also not only because it lets you showcase more, but in that case, you could pick your own favorite model and just bring that one. We have special prices. So, and all your models, even if they are not picked by the judge to be your open noted model, are eligible for the special categories. So the categories we have are first, best of show. That's the best model of the whole competition. That's easy.
Yeah. And this is just to make sure people understand, this is actually above and beyond the gold, silver, bronze, honorable mention grading system that we'll have.
Yes.
So these are in addition to, yeah.
Yes. We could end up with only silvers and still have a best of show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's the best of what's there.
Yep.
After that, we have best of chibis. So your favorite super deformed model, cartoon model, anime style, round model. So whatever you bring.
Round model, like yeah. That.
After that, we have best of weathering. So the best application of weathering on a model, be it an historical tank, a destroyed battle suit, whatever you bring. So bring your A-game on your weathering. And lastly, we have also 3 special best of gaming categories. So for those, we have specific points. We want models that are playable and are made for gaming. So you cannot bring a model on a plinth. You cannot enter a diorama. You cannot enter a battle scene. For those, we want basic models for gaming purpose.
Purpose.
Yeah. So the 3 categories are single. That means any small infantry and small cavalry. We have units, so any groups of 3 plus models. And lastly, monster/vehicles. So pretty simple.
Yep. I think it's pretty straightforward.
We might add more. That will mostly depend on sponsors.
Yep,
if
absolutely.
If somebody want to sponsor a specific category, we might add another best of from here to the event.
And speaking of sponsors, do we want to discuss that now, or do we want to talk about the classes and stuff first?
Oh, we can go through the list. The list is not definitive. We're still in contact with people, so yep. That might change.
However, it'll only get bigger.
Yeah, it won't go smaller.
Yeah.
That would be bad.
The people in the list are confirmed.
Yes. So first, and that has been already announced, is Rosemary and Company. So a maker of Artist Brush.
And in fact, they confirmed, I think it was last Thursday, and I've already got the prizes.
Yeah, so.
They FedEx aired them to us, yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of them, we will have a special offer during the registration. If you register before the end of June, you'll have the opportunity to order Rosemary brushes at the standard price and save shipping.
Yeah.
Because we will pre-order them for you to be delivered at the event, and shipping will be covered by us.
Exactly. So it's a good way to get your brushes and save a few bucks and not have to worry about customs and all that other fun stuff. And the shipping costs.
Yes. After that.
And if you don't pre-order, though, we will have a few brushes for sale at the event.
Yeah. However, those will be limited in number, and the price will be a bit higher to help us cover the that shipping cost and yeah. customs if and, ever we get it with
and
it.
And we're talking like a dollar or two higher, not...
But still.
Yep, yeah, no, definitely it's higher. On a $10 brush, that's 20%. It's $2, right?
Yeah.
So it's yeah.
So our next sponsor is Badger Airbrush. What's the official title?
Badger Airbrushes.
Yeah, Badger Airbrushes. So they do airbrushes. They do the miniature paint line. So. Yep.
They have some new metallic line they just launched, airbrush metallics, which look gorgeous. They have their candy coat line called Ghost Tints, which is awesome.
Yes.
And then they have, of course, Stunnel Rose Primers, which is some of the best airbrush primer we've used. So. Mm-hmm.
After that, we have Secret Weapon Miniature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just confirmed that today. We also have Reaper Miniatures.
Yes.
They'll be sponsoring the paint intake at the event. So, I think that's... Oh, I think Castle Miniatures is on board as well, but we don't have the details.
Yes, we don't have the details yet, but they are on board. And the... Well, Geese of the North is sponsoring the event. We're running the event. We're planning the event. It's not exactly a sponsoring thing.
Well, we will also have prizes for the... for the prize support as well.
Yes.
So. We'll also be throwing some stuff in for that. And I think we're missing someone from the sponsors, aren't we?
I think that's it for now. There are other people interested, but I don't think we have confirmations.
So we won't confirm that there's a certain company that makes chibi models that might be sponsoring.
No, because I have no official confirmation yet. Just a mention of interest.
Fair enough. Okay, snuck that in there, eh?
Yeah.
There you go.
You had to.
Yeah, of course. I got to be me. All right. So that's our list of sponsors thus far. And that's, I think that's still going to grow a little bit.
Yep.
I've got some feelers out with some other friends of the industry. So hopefully we'll get a few more people on board. But also it's quite good. And we should probably mention that what we're going to do with this prize support, is all the prize support and all the sponsorship we're getting are going back into the show. The show is a not-for-profit event, right? We're not trying to make a buck on this. We're just trying to break even at best.
Yes.
And if we do make a few bucks, we'll roll it into next year's budget for the show. So we're not running away with any money. One of the things your entry fee will get you is into the door prize raffles.
Yes.
Which I don't think we mentioned.
Most of the support will go to the door prize raffles.
So there is definitely some good value in that ticket price, which I don't even think we mentioned.
No, so ticket price will be $15. That's our pre-registration price. This, as we mentioned, give you access to the main room, give you the raffle ticket, your entry in the painting contest, all regular activities. The only... add-on to that will be your brushes if you pre-order them, and the classes. So if you take specific classes, we'll have an handful of those done by pro painters. Those will be given in adjacent room to the big room we'll be in, will be limited to 10 person per classes. So they will be on specific topic like object source lightning with Yom. The Yom you hear on the show once in a while. There will be a weathering class with Yom Kavar and others to confirm.
Yeah. I was actually going to say Yom is actually on every show. I just edit him out so you don't hear him. He hasn't caught on yet. Don't tell him.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we do have three or four other classes in the works.
Mm-hmm.
We're just waiting for final confirmation.
Yeah.
But rest assured, these are all extremely high-level painters who have competed at large events. So it should be very interesting. And they're very prolific painters and well-known locally.
Yep. We'll have their profile linked in the on the website as soon as they are confirmed.
Yep.
And the topic of their classes. Like, we know David Faust du Sablon will be there and give a class, but we don't have the specific topic yet. So that's why we can't say. We know he's exactly. going to be present. He's going to be one of the judges for the open painting, for the painting contest. And he will be giving at least one class. But we don't know the topic. So we'll know soon enough.
There we go. All right.
Where it is. The
oh, so, yeah. I like we're missing something.
Yeah, we're...
you know what? I'm really glad we took the time to write out all this stuff in point form, and then we completely ignored the order we put it in, and we're skipping stuff, and we're forgetting things, even though we have a list in front of us. We yeah. are awesome at this.
Yeah, so...
Organizational kings.
We're from La Belle Province, as the title of the show says, so the event is taking place at Collège André Grasset in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. So you can make the trip internationally if you want. I don't think the event is at the right size for that yet. One day maybe. So it's at Collège André Grasset. It will be in room B606, which is up top in the college. However, there will be an elevator accessible for the weekend, so for the day.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go up 6 flights of stairs.
But that would have been funny.
Not sure.
Maybe we just don't have to tell Yom about the elevator. I don't know why I always pick on him so much. He's such a nice guy, but he's so easy. Such an easy target. Yeah, and the room is actually gorgeous. Lots of daylight, big windows. We have to look at the electrical details. People may be able to bring their own lamps. We've discussed that before with them. It was a kind of a possibility, but we have to see about the room layout, see if it's actually feasible.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that one thing that you can't underestimate is you're going to be at this event with 45 other painters, let's say, or 50 other painters or 60 other painters. Even if you don't necessarily take a class, just sitting there and watching other people work and seeing what they've entered in the competition, it'll open up doors. We're doing this event, and it's structured very loosely off of my experience at ReaperCon, which was a real eye-opener for me because I sat there with a bunch of strangers who I'd never met and watched them paint all day, and we discussed painting, and we saw what we were doing, like what each other were doing, and we actually gave each other pointers. So as a group, we expanded our skill set before we even took classes. I mean, we also took classes in addition to that for specialty stuff, but just the basic feedback you get from your peers is worth the entry fee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more to also mention, this is a all levels painting event.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? So if you've never painted a model before, this is fine. You know, bring some paints, or we can loan you paints, get some brushes, or buy a brush on site. You know, go to the paint and take table and grab a model and start painting. And we'll, you know, people there will teach you the basics. It's a great way to start your skill set, and you know, you'll make all kinds of contacts with people in the community locally that you can learn from, and then do, you know, also something like this is a great way to start doing painting nights, right? Build a group, you know, get a clique together, you know, people that are like minded or whatever. And then you can do painting nights, you can do painting hangouts, so it's really a community growth event.
Yeah, that's how our group met, through a painting event in a store. So
that's right. That's absolutely true. Because I'd met you once before that, but just in the sense that I passed you some models for an event that I wasn't even going to, that I'd been asked to paint. And then after that, we started doing what we used to call it oldies, because we were the old guys, you know, 5 or 6 years ago when we were actually not that old.
Yeah, but it was the fact that it was later in the day after the kids are in bed, and
yeah, we were also we're still the oldest guys there.
Yes, at the store for sure.
Yeah, yeah. You
were just
what,
older 30? Now, but
or
32? Still,
yeah,
yeah.
I was in my 30s. Yes,
yeah.
Crazy. And it's led to some long-lasting friendships, like you and me and Yom, Well, you know, not so much, but
that I do.
Yeah, stab him with the knife. Stab him. Twist it. Yeah. No, but I met Yom. I met you, and we got to know each other quite well. We started Geeks of the North through you guys. I met Steve. Like the circle has expanded quite a bit.
Yes.
You know, Leonard and Amber, who are other friends of ours, who paint a little bit more casually, but who enjoy painting quite a bit. We met, really got to know them through the painting nights and talking to them. Jess, right?
Yes, Jess.
Yeah, who we didn't know who she was really, and then we kind of met her through that. Or at least I did. You may have known her beforehand. Nope. I don't know. So yeah, it's it'd actually be cool if she could come out to this. I hope she can get away. That'd be awesome. I haven't seen her in a couple of years. But yeah, so this event has a lot of potential to help build the community. And maybe, you know, if we see interest, we'll do it again next year. And maybe if we see enough interest, we'll do smaller like get-togethers or whatever, not necessarily whole events with sponsorship and contests, but maybe do painting days once every few months where we rent a room,
rent a small room,
or a Legion Hall or something like that, and we all get together and paint.
Yeah,
for sure. Or even get together at a gaming store on a schedule on a weekend where they don't have a tournament and 800 people showing up.
That's rough.
Yeah, especially now there's less gaming stores. That's a little bit denser. But anyway, it's a great opportunity, and I hope people take advantage of it. Not just for our sake to try to break even, but just because I think you do yourself a great disservice if you like painting, if you don't go to this thing.
For sure.
And these type of events. Okay, I've run out of stuff to ramble about.
Yeah, and I think that pretty much covers it. So, registrations are not open at the time of recording. Hopefully, they will be by the time of release or soon after. So
yeah,
we're just putting the final touch to the website.
Yeah, I mean, I think by the 15th, do you think that's feasible?
Yeah.
So by Friday the 15th, registration will be open. I mean, in theory, the site may not be completely finished by then because, you know, we have real jobs and other stuff that distract us, but the registration will be open. We'll be able to take pre-orders for the brushes and take payments for the tickets.
The main part that won't be done probably is the translation to English because it's a French public first due to localization, but English will come also.
Well, I mean, I can just do the French translation, the English translations too, right? It's not.
Yeah, but still, just add some time. So yeah, that's why.
Absolutely.
I concentrate on having the first draft in one language before doing translation.
One thing it's important to mention that we didn't talk about before. The college, is it near a metro station?
It is near the Cremazy metro station. It's like a couple streets away. So easy, really, really easy access.
Yeah.
It's right next to the Highway 40 in Montreal.
Yep.
So it's easy accessible by car.
Yeah.
And they have a parking that's only $5 for the day for the weekend days.
Yeah. So as I was about to say, it's important people know there's a parking lot on site. There is a $5 parking fee that goes to the school. It has nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
But, I mean, carpool, that becomes nothing.
Yeah, and $5 for a day of parking in Montreal?
Is dirt cheap. Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think we actually talked about the hours of the event. Wow, we did this terribly, Antoine. The event is going to run from?
9 to 5.
Right. Okay.
Might be 8 to 5. I need to confirm the start of day and time.
Yeah,
with the college, but
well, I don't think classes will start before 9 anyway. So we might be there earlier, but classes won't start.
Yeah,
and the classes will have a break, I think, for lunch.
Well, classes would be about 2 to 2.5 hours each. There will be 3 time slots for those. One, the middle time slot might overlap with lunch, but you can have lunch before or after. So
yeah, you can have lunch whenever you want. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
There's don't provide lunch. There won't be lunch on site. However, there's restaurants all around, and you can bring something with you if you want.
Yeah, exactly. To keep the cost low. What I was just saying, though, is that there's, I was just trying to get the fact there's no scheduled lunch hour. It's kind of
no.
Take what you want. And I think more or less most of the classes have a dead spot in the middle where there's like I think at one of the hours I don't think there's many classes going on, only maybe one class going on, so.
Yeah, it will depend with the final number of classes we get.
Yeah. And in any case, there's plenty of opportunity to eat. You won't starve.
Yeah, for sure. We also mentioned a pre-registration price. That will go up to the 14th of July, so a week before the event. We will take registration on the spot. It will be the same price. However, you won't get raffle tickets if you did not register.
Yeah, so you won't be entered in the door prizes.
Yeah.
And from what I'm seeing, the door prizes are a good value. Like,
yes.
Just from what I've seen, the first couple things that came in, they're worth winning, right? Mm-hmm. So it's worth pre-registering to get the entry into the door prize draw.
I think that covers it. So if you have questions, sure, send them to us. Any of our social medias, you can either find that on our Facebook page or website or listening at the end of the show. There, we pull girls through the whole list there. So send it to us. We'll either reply right there or maybe on the next show if we can release another one before the event.
Never stop hoping, Antoine. Never stop hoping.
Never stop.
All right. Well, I guess then we will sign off for this this episode. It was a pleasure as always, Antoine.
Yes.
I'll see you next time.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine, at Eltonio Berg, Steve, at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Two Bald Geeks, a podcast by two bald horror movie fans that dissect one horror movie a month, saving the spoilers for last. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.